The word for today. Today is second Sunday in Advent, and as Andy reminds me, I'm a good Baptist, so in my tradition, today would be the theme for today would be the God who speaks. It's up there. Wonderful, thank you. The God who speaks, that would be today's theme. And when I looked it up, I thought, now that's quite interesting, because I'd already decided pretty much what I wanted to say this morning, and it sort of comes under the heading of the God who speaks. Over the past few weeks, months, seems like, we've been looking at Nehemiah and that vision for life thing. And the intention was to have a break from that for a few weeks over Christmas and then start up again in January. However, I do want to refer to Vision for Life today. And as we think about Advent and the God who speaks. If you attended the workshop that Andy and I led at the Pines a few weeks ago on Vision for Life, then some of this is going to be familiar. From the very beginning of time, God had a vision for life. Scripture indicates that God's will, first and foremost, is that we have a relationship with Him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless, empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God spoke. The stage was set, the universe was prepared, and God said, "It is good." And then He said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they might rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and the wild animals, over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. Male and female, He created them. And God said, "It is very good. Very good." So some of you need to hear that today. God created you. And He said, "It is very good." And then the real key for me of God's vision for life comes a bit later in Genesis, in chapter 3, after the account of the fall. In verse 8, it says, "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man," he was speaking again, "the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" Now just think about that for a moment. You see, God already had this vision for life. A vision where He created us in His image for relationship with Him. It was His intention that He would walk with us, talk with us, not at us, not to us, but with us in the cool of the day. That we were created for friendship, for an intimate relationship with Him from the very beginning. And then as the story unfolds and is still unfolding, this is God's vision for life. He created us for a life of purpose. He gave us authority and responsibility. He gave us boundaries. I was at the Home for Good talk on Tuesday evening. Is Jason and Fiona here? Are they around? That was brilliant, but it was a talk about adopting and fostering. And one of the building blocks for children is they need boundaries. God knew that from the very beginning. But the key truth is God's vision for life is that we have this intimate, meaningful relationship with Him. And God wants us to be at ease with ourselves, not in hiding, not covering ourselves up, not needing excuses, no blame shifting. Those are the rackets that we all play. To remember what Becca said the other week, "Sorry, but." No sorry buts. He wants to put an end to that. He wants us to have an open and meaningful relationship with Him. The God who speaks is the God who longs to speak with us. But our rebellion, our pride, our self-centeredness has distorted that relationship with him. Throughout God's word, we find an unfolding plan for that relationship to be restored. Now, I want to ask you a question. I asked Breakfast Church this last week. I want to ask you to do something for me. If you would, it might make you feel a bit vulnerable, but I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to try and recall the most stunning sunrise you have ever seen. Think about it. Think about where you were. Think about leading up to that sunrise, the cool of the pre-dawn. Remember the darkness fading away. Light is tantalizingly close. You dare not look away for fear of missing the moment. There's anticipation.
Then there
it is, light bursting over the horizon, transforming everything. I want you to capture that feeling. Advent captures that feeling, waiting and watching for the coming of light into a dark world, preparing to welcome God's plan to restore meaningful relationship with him. How many of you were, How many of you were around in 1999 and saw something of the eclipse, that total eclipse? Some of you are far too young. Okay. It was eerie, wasn't it? I don't know if you saw the total eclipse. Chris and I, my husband and I, were in northern France on the day, and it was brilliant. But it was that eerie, that in the middle of the day, the darkness descending, and there was stillness. Even the birds went quiet. Is that how it was for you? That was what it was. It was as if the world was holding its breath. Then there was light. There was warmth. There was the noise of life again. There was a crowd around us, and everybody cheered at that moment that the light broke through. Advent is a season when we look back and look forward. We look back remembering God's plan to restore his vision for life, light in darkness, and we look forward to the fulfillment of his promises. There are many prophecies woven throughout the Old Testament pointing towards God's great plan. There will be a Savior, a Messiah, a son of Abraham, a son of David. Gay's already mentioned one of those prophecies as well as we open the service. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. It was a prophecy. It was a hope, an expectation coming, like the people were waiting for that sunrise, waiting for the moon to move across the sun and light burst in. God who speaks spoke through the prophets and gave his promise of a new dawn, a new era, light in dark places. And then when the world had all but forgotten the promises and God had been silent for 400 years, when the faith of the people was low and there was indifference and there was great darkness, at just the right time, light broke in. Jesus, the light of the world, entered the darkness of this world and transformed everything, just like the rising of the sun. We we witness today that dawning of light in others' lives and in our own lives, day by day. A few weeks ago, we were here with Mick and his baptism and listening to his testimony. Great rejoicing because light had dawned in someone's life. Advent allows us this opportunity to look back and see what God has done, and yes, to prepare for the celebration of the birth of Christ. But Advent is also a time to look forward, to prepare and make ready for the breaking in of light in our dark places today, to prepare for the fulfillment of God's ultimate promise. God's ultimate promise is that Christ will come again. I'm going to ask you another question now, perhaps a little tougher. How ready are you for Christ to come again? Are you ready for that day when the most amazing sunrise will happen, when light will break into the darkest, darkest, darkest parts of this world, and Christ in all his glory will return? I know that I prepared to be where I was to see the full eclipse. I know that we got out the maps and we worked out what our timings and we got ourselves into a good place to see that. How prepared are we for Christ to come again? At the Advent God Space on Thursday evening, in one of the zones was this question: what is God waiting for this Advent? Now, I wrote that, but actually when I came to do it, I found it quite challenging. What is God waiting for this Advent? Because I always think of Advent as us doing the watching and waiting, standing on the edge of dawn and waiting, expecting light to break in. But what is God waiting for? Paul, I think, gives us a clue to this in Romans 13. Could we have that one up? I don't know where we've got to with the slides. There we go. Understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Paul is writing to the church, to believers, people who would have sung that song, you know, I believe in the resurrection. You know, he's talking to believers, people like you and me, men and women, saints, saved disciples of Jesus. And even so, he's giving this sense of urgency. Wake up from your slumber. Advent might be a season for many of us to take time out, to slow down. That's what God's space was about. To prepare ourselves in the busyness of a commercialized Christmas, to focus on the true meaning of Christ coming into the world. And that is good, but it's also a time to shift up a gear. It's also a time to get that sense of urgency and resolve some of the attitudes and habits that we've drifted into. This, I believe, is what God is waiting for this Advent. It's as if God is standing on the edge of the dawn, and by his grace, he is patiently waiting, holding back to give us time, time to prepare, time to get ready, time to deal with the stuff that needs to be dealt with, ready for the fulfillment of his promise I've just looked and there's no clock. Sorry, so I'm going on. Yeah. Imagine that. I asked you to imagine what, you know, seeing that dawn, the right sunrise. Now imagine God standing on the edge of dawn, waiting. And he's waiting for you to do something. He's patiently holding back to give you time. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. At God's appointed time, Christ will return. Jesus said, "Keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." Nobody expects that. So what shall we do? How shall we prepare? Well, that verse from those verses from Romans tells us, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. If we read it in the context of all that Paul is writing in that passage, we put on love. There's this commandment, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love one another as I have loved you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is at the key. That's what we put on. But first, we have to set aside something. First, we have to deal with the deeds of darkness in order to put on the armor of light. And each one of us has to take responsibility for our own stuff. Today, what do you need to put aside? What attitudes and habits have you drifted into? It's easy to get caught up in the stuff of this world. And sometimes we've got ourselves further into it before we wake up and realize what's happening. Paul talks about behaving decently, not in wild parties and drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissensions, and jealousy. That's his list. But where do you need light in your particular darkness? Is it an unhelpful relationship? A past hurt you can't get let go of? Becca reminded us, didn't she, that until we own it, we can't give it away. We can't set it aside until we own it. We can't empty our hands of it and take on the light and the love until we've owned it and given it away. I liked what you said earlier, Gay, about having the darkness in one hand and the light in the other. But as the light of Christ, I want to ask you to see that slightly in a different way. There is darkness in our lives, and there is the light of Christ in our lives. Jesus has called us to be light bearers, to be in his world as people of light. And until we let go of this, we can't have more of the other. And that's what we're about right now. I was at six last week, and I thought it was Naomi that said this, but it might have been Becca, I can't remember. But someone said... It's a good phrase. Someone said, we may be the only Bible that people read. We may be the only Bible people read. Today, we talk about the God who speaks, and he speaks here. But not many people read this book these days. We, our lives, may be the only Bible people read. So will they read contradiction and dismiss it? Or will they read integrity, openness, light, hope, peace, joy, forgiveness, acceptance? The list goes on. That is light in place of darkness. I'm going to ask the stewards in a while to hand out. So I've got these, you know, I like visual aids and I want to be helpful to you. Got these little bits of purple stuff again. Purple is the colour for the Advent season. And there's pieces of cord and there's pieces of material. I'm going to ask them to hand them out whilst the band are playing in a moment. And I want you to take one or the other. And we're going to have a time when we actually take hold of these and do some work with God. Allow his Holy Spirit to put his light and truth in the direction of those areas in our lives where if people were to read the book of the Bible of my life, they would say there's a contradiction there. And we're going to ask God for his forgiveness, and in preparation to welcome him, we're going to set aside those things of darkness and take hold of light. Then I'm going to ask you to take these home with you, whichever you've got, and put them somewhere where you will see them. If you have issues with how much you use the computer or what you do on your computer, put it somewhere near your computer. If it's a relationship problem in your family, then put it near their photograph or something that reminds you of them. Take it and use it. Put it by the mirror. Put it in your purse if you're dealing with finance issues. But remember that the work God is beginning here, he will complete. So, thank you, band. If you would play this, and if the stewards would hand these out, that would be really helpful. God who speaks has spoken in the past, he is speaking today, and his word will come ultimately, when Christ returns. What will we be doing when Christ returns?